You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you to the praise team for the wonderful songs this morning. This morning's Bible verse, scripture verse, can be found in 2 Timothy 2:22. This is a very special verse to me. This was a verse that I found my senior year of high school, and I used it throughout college different times just to kind of help me remind. The verse goes, "Shun youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." This is a word of God for the people of God. So, I love Chinese food. I'm not really particular on the place. It's not really even one type of Chinese food. I can enjoy sesame chicken followed by sweet and sour chicken. It's really not, you know, anywhere is fine with me. I kind of go through different rotations. You know, for a while I was a big Pies fan. It always had to be the buffet at Pies. And then China Palace, there's some few things that I liked better there. And you sprinkle in Asian Express, you know, you got to have the yum yum sauce. You got to have all that. So I just kind of whatever mood I was in. Well, a couple years ago, my wife introduced me to the absolute greatness of Panda Express. And I'm not sure how familiar you are with Panda Express, but you get the chance to have fast food, Chinese food, but yet it's pretty good quality, and you don't have, you know, the pieces of chicken taste really good. So I really like the Panda Express. As much so, again, with JD not here, I can, it's fair to say this, because I'm sure nobody's going to rat on me on this one, but I love Panda Express so much that if there needs to be an errand run in either Mount Pleasant or Saginaw, I will quickly volunteer for that job because I know I can go have lunch at Panda Express. I will find any and all reasons, as much so in the mornings when I look at my wife and she said, "What does your day look like?" "Well, I need to run to Saginaw today." My four-year-old Jackson will then chime in, "Oh, do you have to go to Panda?" He has me figured out. Panda Express. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I hear that even Panda Express is trying out this year. They're going to have breakfast food. I don't know what breakfast Chinese will even taste like. I'm willing to try it, though. You may recall, I think it was about 10 years ago, there was this documentary called Super Size Me, right? Where the guy ate McDonald's every meal of every day, and he kind of went through that. We were talking about that the other day, and I looked at my wife, and I said, "I think I want to try that with Panda Express. Every meal, every day, I'm going to do that." And she quickly let me know that that is not a good idea and that I probably would not be able to do it. But I was also quick to point out the fact that even if I lose, I still win, because as many days I get Panda Express, that's a win. So we have this tradition, right, with Chinese food. You have all of that, let's just call it yumminess of rice and everything thrown together, and then you end it with the fortune cookie, right? You put some butter, flour, sugar, mix it with some sesame oil, and they make this cookie. And inside this cookie is this random piece of paper that is supposed to tell you what is going to happen next in your life. I don't know who came up with this idea, and there's all sorts of debates on when you look at it, but it just kind of sounds weird to me, right? The cookie never says anything bad. The cookie never tells you, you know, here are your unlucky numbers to try in the lotto this week because you're sure to never win. They don't say those. It's always good fortune. The positive things, if we could really truly harness those positive things and have the fortune to always come true, I believe all of us would eat Chinese every day because you could then know that you are going to have good luck. The one I do wish that if you ever find, you know, on the bottom they have the Chinese word like translation. I want to find one that gives me the translation for indigestion. That's what I really want to be able to, you know, I feel like that would come in handy often as much as I'm there. But let's be honest, that if life doesn't work like our fortune cookies, you're not about ready to receive a large gift. You're not always going to be treated nicely when you treat others nice. Some random note inside of this cookie is not going to change when life and the curveballs that life throw our way. I love my job very much. I love investing in all these youth And as we're down to one grad, as the rest are already, I'm sure, taking naps. I love investing in the youth in this church and also in this community. I love watching them physically, emotionally, and spiritually grow. I love serving with them in Tennessee, Kentucky, Cleveland, Mississippi, and some of them that are going to be going to Jamaica in this next month. I love watching the growth that happens in their life. I love having them over at our house at all sorts of random times. I love the ensuing argument of who gets to sit in the middle corner couch cushion, because everybody knows that that is the most comfortable spot on the couch. I love watching and hearing the stories. I love having them over after prom. I love the exam breakfast brunch that we do. I love all of those things, but I'll tell you, one of the neatest parts about being in youth ministry is when I get to see them come back. I get to hear the stories, because I get to hear the things of how life is treating them when they're not under mom and dad's roof telling them what to do. When they don't have maybe me telling them, well, this is the Christian way that you should be doing that. I love hearing the stories of them becoming their own. That's one of my favorite parts. And I'm going to be honest, not all those stories are always good. Some of those stories are about how they've failed. Some of those stories are about how maybe they've messed up or walked away from their faith. But I choose to look at those as opportunities to come back. A spot where God can break them in such a way that he's going to call them back to the life that he's intended for them. So far, to recap, I love Chinese food. Fortune cookie makers are liars. I've been blessed to walk alongside of these youth. And some of these youth make mistakes from time to time. Most of you in this room have no idea and say this is the most random sermon ever. The youth know I have a point and I'm going to get to it. All of this comes down to one thing: priorities. Whether life is going really, really good for you or really not so well, it's all about the priorities that we make. So the debate between my wife and I think about 8 years ago, we started this list, and I've heard a couple different sermons on it, and I've tied this all together, and we've looked up and spent a lot of time researching, and I've come up with priorities. And most of the time when we talk, when I talk in with youth, it all really, really comes down to they've made something else more important than what they should have. So the youth here every Sunday night, and every time I get a chance to tell them, that their number one priority has to be God. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. God has to be our number one priority. Above all things in this world, God has to be number one. If we're not putting God number one, if we're not looking to see a way to put God number one, then already our priorities are messed up. God has to be more important and trump everything else. Number two on the priority list doesn't really reach our graduates all too well, but maybe speaks to you. Spouse. Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This one doesn't sound all that overly, you know, romantic. Hallmark Channel doesn't talk about, you know, your marriage has to not be the most important thing. It's always talking about, you know, there's nothing better in this world. But Jamie and I have talked about this even within our marriage. And I'll be honest, I've seen some marriages fall apart lately. And a lot of that comes down to understanding. As much as Jamie knows that I love her dearly, my love for her cannot and should not be more important than my love for God. God has to be my number one priority. And nor would I want me to be more important in Jamie's life than her relationship and her love for God. That has to be the number one most important thing, is God followed by spouse. Next, equally important, but down one step, is family. Ephesians 6:5, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. I love my kids dearly. That doesn't mean because they're number three on the list, that doesn't mean that my kids don't know that they are loved. I love them dearly. But here is the priorities that seem to mess up often. And again, I was talking about some of, it feels like this last month, Jamie and I, a lot of our close friends have been getting divorces or separations and different things are going on. Already halfway through this list, I can tell that their priorities aren't what they need to be. They haven't put their faith in God number one, or maybe they've, in some situations, put their kids higher than their spouse. It's very clear in the Bible that because you become one flesh when you're married, that has to be more important than the love you have for your kids and in the time and the commitment. It doesn't mean don't love your kids. It doesn't mean don't do everything you possibly can. But if you're putting your priorities of your kids above the priorities of your spouse, then you've lost that battle. The next one is relationships. Those are the people we encounter, and that kind of goes farther, and that's a very broad one. And that really could be broken down into about five different categories. But we have our relationships of people we work with. We have our relationships of people that we, you know, encounter here at church or in our close friends. There's all different levels of that. But putting those priorities in the right order and understanding our relationships. 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. That doesn't mean that our relationships with people aren't important just because they're number four on the list. Our relationships are important. In a sermon for a whole nother day, if you see in there, and therefore encourage one another and build each other up. We have to be encouraging. We have to love other people. We have to reach out to the community. And my relationships with each and every one of you are vitally, vitally important. And I care about it. But you also have to understand that if my priorities are in the wrong order, and I'm putting you as a friend higher than my kids, or you as a friend higher than my wife, and especially you as a friend higher than my relationship with God, that's when the fortune cookie crumbles. That's when our life falls apart because we don't have the correct priorities. The fifth one on here, and there's probably more to come, but the fifth that I've chosen to use is work. Genesis 2:5, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. Again, I want to stress, that doesn't mean you get a freebie and you don't have to work just because it's number five. That doesn't mean that, you know, you can call your boss tomorrow and say, oh, our youth pastor gave a sermon yesterday, I don't have to come in because it's not important. No, God gave you a job. He gave you that ability. And I would even say our work is even greater than that. It's easy for me as a youth pastor to say, well, obviously my job's to talk to people about God. But so is yours. Whether you work at Dow, whether you're a school teacher, whatever you are, your job is to reflect Christ in those communities and everybody you encounter every day. That is important. Your job is to show Christ to this world. But again, those where our priorities mess up. It's still a very important thing to do, but our priorities when we put work higher than family or friends. The kids, this year we went to Mississippi on mission trip. And Pastor Veronica that was down there challenged us the very first day. She said, what you're doing down here and building homes and working on it, that's very, very important. But I want you to understand, the relationship is more important. 90% of what we do is about relationships. 90% of what we do here is about investing in the people that we're serving. That's a great priority right there to understand, because it was easy at the end of that week, you know, the final day to go, we have to get this done. We have to get this done. We have to get this done. And who cares about the family we're working for? No, the family has to come first. The relationship has to come first. You still work hard, but keep that in the right perspective, that our priorities are the right way. And you notice pretty much this list of five encompasses everybody except one person, right? You. And in the middle of working on this sermon, I've talked to a couple friends and I've talked over this for years. And I've really come to the conclusion that you has left off this for one reason. Because if you truly put these five in the correct order, and you can live this every day in the correct priority list, then truly you are taking care of yourself. You are taking care of you. I want you to understand something. There are going to be good times, and there's going to be times that are crummy, for lack of a better term. There's times that life feels great, and there's times that you maybe got a phone call that said, you know, some bad news, either somebody passed or somebody has cancer, or different things are going on. Each of those two ends of the spectrum, it is so important. It is so very important to understand that you got to get back to the correct priorities, because life is going to fall apart at some time. Late last night, as we were having a couple of snafu issues, and I was working on some things late here at the church, trying to get a few things done, I just kind of took a minute and I remembered a video that our seniors had made for youth group this year. And it was a message to all the underclassmen about putting priorities and putting God higher in your life. And I watched it, and I would love to show it to you, but it was like 8 or 9 minutes long. But it was the seniors talking to the underclassmen, saying when they came in as freshmen, they didn't have the right priorities, but they've moved God higher and higher up on that list. And because they've done that, they got to share story after story of good things and great things that have happened. So I'm here to tell you that following this list of five priorities, this is not a foolproof stamp. Your life is going to be great. This is not like the fortune. This is your, you know, you crack the fortune cookie code and you get to every day, you know, have numerous wonderful things happen to you. This list is to help you in those times that are either good or bad to have the right perspective. This list is to help you understand that when things are going wrong, maybe, just maybe, you need to take a second and look at that and say, what priorities am I putting in the wrong order? These seniors, you heard all the different places they're going to. And they're going to leave, I'm going to be honest, they're going to leave just like every senior class that goes through, but they're going to leave a hole behind. These seniors have taken on kids' night, the first Wednesday of every month, and they've taken it and played with the kids and pretty much took it over, so Abby, Jamie, and I didn't have to really do much. We got to sit back and watch them. These seniors have taken part of, you know, when the youth praise band, when we didn't have people to sing or play guitar or instruments, they stepped up and said, Gabby's gone, I can tease her. When we lost all our guitar players, Gabby Lacey spent the summer learning to play guitar. That's finding the right priorities. That's understanding. That's putting the important things more important in life. And it's hard. There's times that things get in the way. There's times that I have to look at my wife, and even though she is number two on that list, I would have loved to curl up and watch some cheesy Hallmark movie last night, but I had things to do at my job. But that's understanding that. This is not a list of follow in order. This is a list of making sure your priorities are in order. This is a list to understand and to help you get through those really difficult times. So I want you to understand. Don't stop. Don't settle for anything less. The times that life go bad, the times that things really aren't working out, those are the times to cling to number one, to God, even harder. Whether you've walked away from the faith that you used to have, you're not living where you think you need to be or where you should be right now, those are the times to turn and put the priorities back in the right perspective. Maybe, just maybe, you're in a spot that you have a son or daughter and you haven't put them higher than relationships with your friends and other people. It's never too late to set our priorities in the right order. It's never too late to just stop and say, you know what? I need kind of to check myself here. I need to put myself back in that. So I'm going to close this in prayer. And I want you to just spend a time too, just praying and understanding that God has this list for you. God has given you, scripturally given you the protocol to follow. And maybe today is the day that you need to say, you know what, God? I need to put my priorities back in order. I need to make you more important. I need to make my wife more important. I need to make my kids more important. I need to make my relationships more important. Because I know, even for myself, even though it's been 8 years of working on this list, I'm not up here saying I've mastered it. I can't even say I haven't screwed up this list in the last 24 hours. But it's a time to come back to that. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for a day to honor our graduates. Thank you for just such a wonderful, amazing group. The 12 graduates that we honored this morning, thank you so much for the investment that they've put into this church, the investment they've put into this community. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for just continuing to honor and glorify them as they move all over the United States next year. Thank you for them and their heart to serve. God, I just pray right now for anybody in this sanctuary, anybody in this room that is just struggling and saying, you know what? Yeah, my priorities have been out of order. I've put other things before you, God. I walked in places I shouldn't have walked. I did things I shouldn't have done. I acted in ways that I shouldn't have acted. But God, right now, I dedicate myself to putting my priorities back in order for you. Help me focus on you, God. Help me focus on my spouse. Help me focus on my family, my children. Help me focus on my relationships with my friends, and help me focus on my work, that I'm called to work and honor and glorify you. Thank you so much for the reminder. Thank you for, again, a wonderful, beautiful day. Be with this church as we go forward. Be with these graduates as they go forward. God, we love and we thank you. It's in your name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.